The following sermon is brought to you by Springville South Church of Christ. For more information, please visit www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.
Christianity is not a philosophy. You can practice any major religion in this world without its central figure and it'll go on. But one thing you know, you cannot have Christianity without Christ. You cannot have Christianity without Christ. Because Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship with a living and a loving and a merciful God. Christianity is not a cult. Christianity is not a creed. Christianity is not a cause. Christianity is not even a church. Christianity is Christ Himself.
Father, we come before You this morning and we submit ourselves, Lord, to the authority of Your Word. We pray that You would speak to us through Your Word this morning. We pray, Lord, that You would teach us, give us listening ears and obedient hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Rosalind, the water's being looked after? That's good. Today is a special day for Richard. And he's taking an obedient step in God to get water baptized. It's a great day for him. So I just thought I'll share, it wouldn't be a long sermon, but a short sermon on water baptism this morning, just to refresh us of what actually water baptism is all about. Now, life is full of symbolism. Wherever you go, you see symbols, and it connects you straight away to a product. For instance, you'll see a symbol of a Mercedes car, you know, the round thing with like a thing, and you say, that's a Mercedes car. If you see a symbol of a Toyota, you say, that's a Toyota car. You have things like wedding rings. And then, of course, you got McDonald's, you know, the big M, the golden arch. I remember when Nathan was 18 months old, we took him to India. And the poor chap struggled to eat the food in India. And even though my mother would cook the best possible Western-type food, he still struggled to eat. He even got violently ill, poor chap. But when we came to Singapore on the way back to Australia, and we stopped off for 2 days in Singapore, and we were walking with him down Orchard Road with a pram, the moment he saw the big M, he got so excited, his legs went in the pram like that, and he was pointing out. He knew exactly what he was going to get in that store. To him, that big M at that age was everything. You know, it was like real food. Then we have things like flags, we have logos, we have tattoos, peace symbols, and I can go on and on and on. Despite the fact that some traditional churches have built their entire belief system on symbols and rituals, there are very few things in the Christian faith that could be thought of as a ritual. A ritual is established or a prescribed procedure or an observance of a set of form in public worship. Today we're going to look at one which is called water baptism. What is water baptism and how and when it should be performed? When you ask a Christian, and I include the traditional church folk in this as well, and I'm using the term Christian quite loosely, because the term Christian is only applicable if you've made a decision to follow Christ and make Him your Lord and Savior, then and then only can you say you are a true Christian. But I'm using the word Christian a bit loosely this morning. So when you ask the question, what is water baptized? You will get different answers, often biased towards the denomination that they are acquainted with or attached to. Today we are going to lay aside all those differences, including the Church of Christ difference, if we have any, and just look at the Scriptures and see what this inherent, infallible Word of God has to say on the subject. Not what our denominations or what we've learned when we, you know, when we grew up or were taught when we were growing up to be the case. We're going to look at what the Word of God has to say about it this morning. And we're going to see for ourselves what the Father expects of us concerning this ordinance. So my first point this morning was to say that even Jesus Christ was water baptized. Slide number one, I think Heston is going to read the first text for us. It's from Matthew chapter 3, verses 14 through to 17.
John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
You have to read two more texts here. Jesus' baptism was required, the Bible says, to fulfill all righteousness. In verse 15, even though he was sinless, fulfill all righteousness, what does it actually mean? Fulfill all righteousness, the phrase we hear a lot, but what does it actually mean? John knew exactly what Jesus meant, but to us it's rather a cryptic phrase. The baptism of repentance which John was performing was the identification of the righteous with the Old Testament law, for it was the breaches in the law which were being confessed, and a renewed commitment to live righteously, which the crowds were coming to him for. That is why John could order the Pharisees, if you remember, to start producing fruit in keeping with their repentance. They were claiming to have the baptism of John, but John turned around to them and said in Matthew 3:8, "Therefore bear fruit worthy of your repentance." In this manner, when Jesus was baptized in the same baptism, though he had no sin of his own to confess, he was identifying with us, the transgressors. Slide 2 tells us about that, and that's Isaiah 53 verses 12 and Luke 22 verse 37.
"Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Luke 22:37. "For the time has come for this prophecy about me to be fulfilled. He was counted among the rebels. Yes, everything written about me by the prophets will come true."
Thank you. In his baptism, he identified himself with the men he came to save. The baptism of Jesus is the beginning of the exchange of his life for the sinners, or for us, the sinners. It is in this way, as the sinless one is baptized on our behalf, that all righteousness is fulfilled. It is our righteousness being fulfilled in Christ. In Christ as a substitute. Rather than Jesus being made righteous in the baptism. So there's a big difference there. It was a means for Jesus to identify with sinful man as he prepared for his ministry. Baptism symbolized the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So after Jesus was baptized, the heavens were opened, it says, and the Father expressed his approval of his Son. And we're going to see that in the third slide, which is verses 16 and 17 of Matthew chapter 3.
"I After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy."
Thank you, Heston. My next point is this, and it is an extremely important point. Baptism is not equal to salvation. There are those who would teach that you need salvation, yes, but you also need to be water baptized to be complete and to experience the completeness of salvation. And I must tell you with all sincerity that that is not a biblical teaching. Be very careful of those who preach that. Baptism is not equal to salvation. Baptism is included in the Great Commission. We are to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. However, the Word of God makes it very clear that a person's sins are forgiven based on his belief in Jesus Christ rather than through baptism. We have a few examples to tell you that. The Ethiopian eunuch in verse Chapter 8 of Acts, verses 35 and 37. And we'll have Anthony, I think, who's reading slide 4.
So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?"
You see the order there? The scriptures were expounded. And after he accepted Christ, water baptism was given. The next one is Paul's teachings about grace in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Slide 5.
God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it.
Thank you. Then we see the jailer's conversion in Acts 16, verse 31, slide 6.
Then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household."
Baptism is not mentioned in these texts as well. Then you have Luke chapter 23, slide 7, the thief on the cross.
Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "I assure you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Thief on the cross wasn't water baptized. Baptism is not equal to salvation. It is very clear in Scripture that it is the gospel that saves us. What exactly is the gospel? That too has been revealed to us in Scripture and is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and through to 4. Slide number 8, I think it's...
Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcome it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you, if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believe something that was never true in the first place. I pass on to you what was most important, and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins. Just as the scripture said, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said.
Thank you. In this text here we see baptism is not mentioned. There are a lot more things I can say about why baptism doesn't equal scripture, but that's for another time. My next point today is who should be baptized. The scripture also is very clear. Only those who have been saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ should be baptized. So if a person came to me and wanted me to baptize him, I would have to take him through the gospel account and make sure that he's made Christ his Lord and Savior before I could allow him to take the next step in waters of baptism. Otherwise, I'm just going to take a dry sinner into the water and up comes a wet sinner, with no difference at all on his life. Infant baptism, again, is not biblical. We cannot accept the same. Babies cannot be conscious of choices they make when they're infants about Jesus and in regards to their salvation. It can also give a person a false security or assurance of their salvation when they've never made a personal decision to follow Jesus Christ. That is why we cannot accept infant baptism as being part of a biblical concept. How should we be baptized? The word baptism comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means to immerse. It was used in Jesus' day to describe something being submerged under water. It symbolizes the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ in a way that sprinkling or pouring of water does not. And we see that in Romans 6 and verse 4, slide number 9.
For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives.
Thank you. Now, if you haven't been water baptized by immersion, will you spend eternity separated from God? The answer is a resounding no. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved, period. However, I must say this, unless you are frail or you're dying of some terminal illness or you have other health issues that prohibit you from being water baptized or immersed in water, you should seek to be water baptized according to all the examples in Scripture. Very important. Here are some reasons why believers should get water baptized. It is a command from Jesus in Matthew 28 verse 19. He told his disciples to make disciples and baptize them. Water baptism is a public confession of our faith. In other words, don't be afraid to tell others about your relationship to Jesus Christ. This is what Richard is doing today. Richard is going to stand in a public place in front of you and me, and he's going to tell all of us, today is the day, he says, I make a public declaration that I have chosen to follow Jesus Christ, forsaking all others, him and him only. Let's read Mark chapter 8:38 and Psalm 107:2 on slide number 10.
If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Psalm 107 verse 2. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others that he has redeemed you from your enemies.
Fantastic. Through water baptism, we illustrate a picture of our salvation. By going underwater, we illustrate death to our old way of living and a new beginning in Jesus Christ. The pressure is on Richard this morning because all of us here are to witness his decision. What does it mean? It means that Richard, you hold yourself accountable to all of us here to follow Christ wholeheartedly. Your decision today is a very important one. And all your brothers and sisters here and the extended brothers and sisters you may have outside this church building will remind you of your decision to follow Christ wholeheartedly. So it is a major decision you've taken. I remember when I told my father I was going to be water baptized, he was not happy at all. He was a staunch Catholic, but a non-practicing Catholic. And he clearly told me, he said, I'd rather you became a Hindu than leave a Catholic church. He got it wrong. Because I wasn't joining another religion, I had found my Savior. Amen? Yeah. And I went ahead and did it, in spite of his objections, and much to the objections of my other siblings. At first they thought I had gone off the planet. But 31 years of resisting, 3 years ago my dad gave his heart to the Lord. And I believe because I took that stance to tell him, Dad, this is it. This is what Jesus has done for me. Even though he could see the changes in my life, he thought it was a bad thing I was doing, leaving the Catholic Church. When a person gets water baptized, it is an identification with the body of Christ, the Church. Baptism is a symbol that unites us with all believers worldwide, regardless of our denomination. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 on slide number 11.
Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit.
Amen. Water baptism is a tangible way to declare that you follow Jesus Christ. You see, when you make a decision to follow Jesus Christ, you can hold that as a secret. No other place is it more difficult to stand up for Christ than in countries where the act of water baptism can send you straight to jail for 6 months. One of those countries that come to mind is Nepal. You can accept Christ quietly and discreetly and keep it under wraps. But the moment you say you're getting water baptized, it is a clear jail sentence for 6 months. Because that is the act that says, I forsake every other thing in my life, every other person, every other so-called deity in my life to follow Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. Amen. And those believers pay a mighty price for waters of baptism. We do not, folks, comprehend that. We cannot comprehend that in this country. Even in India growing up, I couldn't comprehend that because we had freedom. We had freedom. Baptism often took place in my growing up. It took place in this big school compound where we had the water tank come in and fill this big water tank. We had a huge metal water tank out in the oval. And there would be a few hundred people, including passers-by, all standing to see what was happening. It was an open declaration. It was a tangible way to say, I belong to Christ from this day onwards, this day forward. Pleasing a man over God was never going to happen with me, and I hope it never happens to you. Honestly, I don't care if your mom and dad get offended or your sisters and brothers get offended. When it comes to obeying God, worry about offending God more than anybody else. Very important. And when we do that, God begins to work in the family, in our loved ones and in their lives. And because I often think about my own experience, because of me breaking rank, leaving the Catholic Church because I found the truth in Jesus Christ, caused a lot of my family to grieve. But you know what, folks? A few years later, one after the other, started to come to the Lord because they saw it was real. It was not a passing fad. Finally, water baptism is a declaration of belief in the death, in the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism also illustrates the promise that at the end of time, every believer will be resurrected and live forever in His presence. And we see that in Romans on slide 12.
For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was.
Thank you. So let me draw my message quickly to a conclusion. It's a shorter version this morning. I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been water baptized according to the Scriptures? Yes. Fantastic. Maybe you can't answer this question because you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ before. You've never confessed Him as your Lord and your Savior. And you've never asked Him to forgive you. Maybe you received Christ as your Savior a long, long time ago. But no one ever explained to you about the obedience in taking the step to get water baptized. And you never had the opportunity. Or maybe you're a Christian, but you've held back in having or taking this major step in getting water baptized because you fear offending man. You fear offending your family. You fear offending your mates. Folks, disregard that fear because that is not the right fear. You've got to fear offending God rather than offending man. My earnest request is for you to, as soon as possible, find a way to participate in this ordinance of God. Baptism is an experience ordained by God, not by man, ordained by a loving Father, a decision that you will never regret, neither will you ever forget. Amen? If you feel that there's anything I've shared with you this morning and you need to explore further, please see me after the meeting. I'll be very happy to talk to you or even tie up a time to come and explain what the gospel message is about and then, of course, the waters of baptism. What's going to happen now is Heston's going to lead us in a song while Anthony, myself, and Richard get changed to get into the waters of baptism. When we water baptize Richard this morning, it's open for everyone to share in a prayer for Richard. So feel free to grab the mic and pray for Richard and affirm him in his decision. And then after that, we'll break for a cup of tea and a biscuit or so. God bless you. This morning for me as well, this is my first water baptism in Australia. I used to do a fair bit in Bombay, but since I came to Australia 25 years ago, this is my first time. So, exciting. So, when we put Richard into the water, if I accidentally forget to pick him up, it's not intentional. Amen. Let's go. I've got to ask, even though I know Richard's a believer, I still have to ask him to make this public confession. And then we baptize him. Dear Richard, have you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Have you made him your Lord and Savior, following him and forsaking all others?
Definitely, yes.
Thank you. So if you kneel down now, how you plan to do it? Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Kneel down. Don't worry about the water going over. So, Richard, according to the confession of your faith, and as a minister of this assembly, and in the public domain here where you have friends who witness this mighty act, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Write down. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Bless you. This is the time for us to feel free to pray for Richard. Amen. Just put your hand up and we'll get the mic across to you.
We thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the decision and the choice that Richard has made today. We thank you, Father, that he's now a member of the family of God. It is you, Lord, who has chosen him. May you use him mightily, Father, for your glory and honor. May he be proud of who he is right now, a child of God. And we thank you for this decision that he's made. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for your mercy, your grace, your amazing love. And Lord, we just thank you so much for this special day, the baptism of Richard. We pray, Lord, that you'll continue to pour out your blessings, your grace, your mercy into his life. Protect him. Help him to continue to go forward with you, to be a witness for you and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
A Heavenly Father, just thank you that Richard has chosen to follow you, Lord. Thank you for him coming and being a part of our church sort of more recently, Lord, and just being able to watch him in the Bible studies, just growing and wanting to learn more of you, Lord, wanting to live for you and bring others to you. And just thank you for this public display that he's forsaking all others and will only go by what you want to do. Just bless him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome, Richard. Welcome to us, to your family, in your family today. We are so blessed today, in Jesus' name, in one spirit with you. Thank you. Thank you, dear Father, for bringing Richard to the family of you. Thank you, because we are rejoiced today. We are happy. We are thanked to God. Thank you. Thank you for bringing Richard to your family now. We are your brothers now. We are taking responsibility for you in the future. We pray for you, and we rejoice together in Jesus' mighty name for Richard come to the family. Thank you, dear Father, for this place. In Jesus' mighty name, pray. Amen.
I have these words in Numbers chapter 6. Words 24-26. Yeah. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. He has already blessed you, and he will continue to bless you as you continue to look to him and to serve him and continue to be diligent to his word. Hearken diligently unto my voice, saith the Lord. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Speaking of the Holy Spirit that you have been received with. You have received the Holy Spirit through the waters of baptism. Amen. And the Lord will continue to bless you as you serve him. We thank you, Lord, for this decision that he has made, Lord God, to accept you as Lord and Savior, and made an open declaration and gone through the waters of baptism. We are grateful and thankful, Lord God, that you have called him and continue to bless him and use him as the word we have read earlier. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for coming today, everybody. I'm freezing right now, but thank you very much, and I love all of you. And I've chosen Jesus, and it's been a long time coming, so hard road, made many mistakes. But I'm here now, and so I'm going to go on forward. Praise be to God.
We hope you've been encouraged from today's sermon. If you would like further information about Springville South Church, please visit our website at www.springvillesouthchurch.org.au.